Interested in learning about wine, but not sure where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to the Cork and Fizz Guide to Wine podcast. I'm your host, Haley Bowman, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm a wine enthusiast turned wine educator and founder of the Seattle-based wine tasting business, Cork and Fizz. It is my goal to build your confidence in wine by making it approachable and lots of fun. You can expect to learn everything from how to describe your favorite wine to what to pair with dinner tonight and so much more. Whether you're a casual wine sipper or a total cork dork like myself, this podcast is for you. So grab yourself a glass and let's dive in. The time has finally come. A few months ago, I recorded an episode of this podcast where I talked about five of the major French wine regions. If you haven't heard that yet, go back and listen to that one. It's episode 19, French Wine 101. But here's the thing. There are definitely more than five wine regions in France, so we needed a part two, and that is what you're getting today. So we will be talking about six other major wine regions in France today. Now, before we get into it, just a quick reminder, if you are not on my mailing list yet, I would love for you to join. When you do, you will get a free shopping guide that has 15 of my favorite wines under $15. Head to corkandfizz.com, scroll down to the bottom, and there'll be a little section where you can join the mailing list. I send out a weekly newsletter. It's filled with wine tips, recommendations, special offers, and so much more. And of course, if you enjoy listening to me talk about wine, you should come taste wine with me and come join my virtual tasting club, the Cork Crew. We get together twice a month, once to try new wines, and then once to learn from others in the wine world, like winemakers, sommeliers, authors, and more. So if you want to try it out without the commitment, you're in luck. Right now, I'm offering what I call a class pass, and I'm offering it for free to anybody who wants to try out the Cork Crew. With this pass, you will be able to join a Cork Crew event of your choosing. No strings attached. I do not ask for a credit card. You do not have to join a membership. All I need is your email. You will be my guest at that event. So if you'd like to try this out, head to corkandfizz.com/free class pass to get your free class pass. Okay, now let's get into the episode. Okay, as a reminder, there are 11 major wine regions that span a wide variety of climates and territories in France. The full list in order of physical size includes Languedoc-Roussillon, that is one region, I know it sounds like two, but that's one, Languedoc-Roussillon, then you have the Rhone Valley, Bordeaux, Provence, Loire Valley, Burgundy, Champagne, Alsace, Beaujolais, Jura, and Corsica. In episode 19, we discussed the five most well-known, and you would probably say most popular. Those were Bordeaux, Burgundy, Champagne, Loire Valley, and Rhone Valley. So if you want to learn more about those, go head back to episode 19, French Wine 101. But in today's episode, we're going a bit off the beaten path to learn about the lesser known, but still just as wonderful, if not like more wonderful. Some of these are just, oh, so lovely, wine regions of France. Namely, we'll be talking about Languedoc-Roussillon, Provence, Alsace, Beaujolais, Jura, and Corsica. I know it sounds like a lot, but stick with me. I'm just going to be talking over the basics and giving you a good idea of what you can expect from these regions. Now, I talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but I want to hit on it again. One of the most important things to keep in mind when you are learning about and buying French wine is that most French wines are labeled by region or what we call appellation. And this region tells you what to expect in the wine. So unlike in the US, where you can grow any grape anywhere and still put the region on the bottle, in France, each appellation, again, just a fancy word for region, has a set of rules, and those rules dictate what grapes are inside of the bottle. So when you look at a label, one of the first things you should pay attention to is the name of the region where the wine is from. I'll be spending a lot of time in today's podcast going over what major wine grape varieties are produced in each wine region of France, so then you can know when you see a certain region what to expect. And again, last time I'm going to reference the other episode, but if you want a rundown of the French wine classification system, which is just kind of an extension off of what we were just talking about with the regions and the appellations, go ahead to episode 19. It's good to know, but it's not worth going over again in this episode. We already talked about that. So we are going to dive into our first region, and we're going to get the big one out of the way first. We're talking about Languedoc-Roussillon. So this is a massive region. I mean, like, I shouldn't say like massive as in like, it's massive for France, okay? Keep that in mind. It goes from the Pyrenees in the southwest to Provence in the east. And I should say it's located in the south of France. It is 535,000 acres. So again, that is huge for France. Fun fact, this was actually two separate provinces once before. I know, surprising, right? Like, the name is two different things. Why would we think, yeah, okay, it used to be Languedoc was one separate region and Roussillon was another. Roussillon actually belonged to Catalonia until mid-1600s, which, if that doesn't sound familiar, Catalonia is actually a Spanish territory, I think I want to say. They're kind of like their own independent region, but they're now kind of formed into Spain. It's where you'd find Barcelona. So Roussillon belonged to Catalonia until the mid-1600s. They joined Languedoc administratively in the 1980s, essentially to streamline management of politics and economies. Now, some people still think this region should be divided into two, as the history, culture, and wines of each Languedoc and Roussillon evolved on separate tracks. But a lot of times you're going to see them put together. So I am going to talk about these. I'm actually going to kind of separate them, Languedoc and Roussillon, while I'm talking about them, mainly because, again, they produce different styles of wine, but you can still consider these as one big region, the Languedoc-Roussillon. So 28% of French wine is made in this Languedoc-Roussillon region. Now, most of it is in the Languedoc half. This region was historically known for bulk wine, but in the 1980s, we saw a quality revolution that was led by these innovative producers, both big and small. Now, due to this history, once you're known for bulk wine, it is very hard to not be known for bulk wine. So they have a bit of a bad reputation, but there are some great wines coming out of this region. And just you knowing that gives you the opportunity to find the diamonds in the rough. And that also means they're not going to be as expensive. So it is so worth diving into this region. In terms of grapes that you would find in Languedoc-Roussillon, they're going to embrace a lot of native varieties to the area. These include Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. Those would sound familiar. They're part of the GSM of the Rhone Valley, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. They also have Carignan and Cinsault. In terms of white wines, you can find the white version of Grenache called Grenache Blanc. You can also find Bourblanc, Picpoul, Roussan, Marsan, Vermentino, and Viognier. And these are all used in their dry white wines. A lot of times the dry wines are often blends, so meaning they take multiple different grapes, make wine out of them, and then blend that together rather than a single varietal of grape, which I think is kind of fun. I think blends, they got a bad rep as well about people thinking that like, oh, the wine's not good enough on its own, you have to blend it together, but that's not true. Blends are basically taking like the best of each grape and then making something that's even better than its like single parts. You know what I mean? They also do sweet wines here. So they have Muscat is the most important grape for what are called VDNs, Vin de Natural. I think this is similar to a port where spirit is added to stop fermentation, so you have sugar left behind. So Muscat is used for that, and it's actually a white grape. They also have more international grapes, meaning grapes that are not from that specific region. So an example of this is Merlot. So Merlot, there was none of it in 1968 in the Languedoc-Roussillon. Now they have over 74,000 acres. So definitely looking into having more different types of grapes there, but that kind of those native varieties are going to be like the thing that they're going to be known for. Now, I did want to talk a little bit about subregions. So Languedoc-Roussillon is our one big region, but there are smaller regions within, and this is what you will often see on the wine label, which is why I wanted to talk about it. So starting first with the Languedoc half, there are 23 appellations. They're called Appellation d'Origine Contrôlée, or AOCs. Only about 16% of wine that is produced in the Languedoc fall under this AOC. The thing is, and I think this is cool about the region, the Languedoc is way more experimental than any other area in France. You know how I talked about that, like, in France, the region decides what grape you have to use, and, like, that's just kind of, like, how they follow and how they make wine? Well, the Languedoc is a little more experimental, I think, because they're like, well, we already don't have this amazing reputation and don't have to live up to anything. Why not just try some things? So any wine that doesn't fall under the specific AOC and doesn't, like, follow the rules is considered an IGP. And this is Indication Géographique Protégée. And this, it doesn't mean it's lesser quality. It just means that it didn't follow the specific rules. Now, there's one large Languedoc AOC. This forms the basis of the classification system. It covers red, white, and rosé wines, and it can be a blend of grapes from both Languedoc and Roussillon. Now, within this large AOC, there are 10 sub-appellations, of which the most popular are Minervois. This is Minervois. This is probably the one that I've seen the most on bottles. This region produces red, white, and rosé wines. It's one of the top regions. Then you have Corbier. This region produces red, white, and rosé. This is Corbieres. Then you have Picpoul d'Épinay. This produces white wine. It's actually Picpoul is the name of the grape, and then d'Épinay is kind of saying, like, where it's from. Then you have Clairette du Languedoc. And again, Clairette is the name of the grape and Languedoc is the region. So Clairette du Languedoc. This is a white wine. Then you have Terrasses du Larzac. It's a red wine. And then another one that I've actually seen a couple times, Pic Saint-Loup. And this is three different words, Pic Saint-Loup, and spelled basically how it sounds. They make red and rosé wines and specifically are starting to make a lot of really lovely Syrah. And lastly, you have Saint-Chinian. They make red, white, and rosé. There are a few others, just less common. Then there are 5 communes or village appellations. If you see any of these on a bottle, again, I'm just saying these because I think it's helpful to, like, have heard them before. And then once you see them, you're like, oh yeah, I heard about this in this podcast or did this. I don't expect you to memorize all these. I don't even have all these memorized. I am 100% looking at notes right now. So the 5 communes or village appellations are the Minervois, La Livenière, Corbier, Boutenac, you have La Clap, then you have Faujouet, and the Fitou. Now you also have 4 sweet wine appellations, which I do appreciate that they have separate regions for this or different appellations, because then you know to expect sweet wine from this region and you don't have to worry about potentially getting it in a different wine that you weren't expecting it from. So this one of the best known sweet wine appellations is called Muscat de Frontignan. And this is similar to those other regions I was talking about where Muscat is the name of the grape and Frontignan is the name of the, like, region that it comes from. So Muscat de Frontignan. And finally, they have 3 sparkling wine appellations, all in a region called Limoux, L-I-M-O-U-X. They have Blanquette de Limoux, Remont de Limoux, and Blanquette de Limoux, Méthode Ancestrale. Don't ask me the differences between those because they all sound very, very similar. You'll find sparkling wine there. And fun fact, the Limoux is actually where sparkling wine was first discovered, not champagne. Okay, and now the other half. So that was Languedoc. They produce most of the wines, but you also have the Roussillon. And in the Roussillon, there are 14 AOCs or AOPs that allow producers to grow 24 different grape varieties. Much of the appellation system actually reflects Roussillon's history of sweet wine. So that's what this region was once known for. And they still produce a lot of sweet wines. They make 80% of France's vin du naturel, the VDNs that I was talking about. And I was right. I had a note here. Those are similar to a port where fermentation is stopped by adding a neutral spirit. So you get a sweet wine, but with a decent amount of alcohol. So the 5 AOPs, those 5 regions that produce these vin du naturels are Rivesaltes, Marie, Banyuls, Banyuls Grand Cru, and Muscat de Rivesaltes. Now, as for dry wine, the large overarching appellation is Côte de Roussillon, which is helpful. We'll start to recognize that Roussillon word. Red wines here are made largely from old vine Carignan, which is not a grape that you see in a lot of areas, so definitely worth trying. You also have Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, and occasionally Cinsault. Now, the slightly higher quality than the Côtes de Roussillon is Côtes de Roussillon Village. And then finally, a couple additional AOPs that are producing age-worthy dry wines include Marisec, Collioure, Caramani, La Tour de France. Funny, that sounds like Tour de France that I'm saying, but it's La Tour, L-A-T-O-U-R, de France. L'Esquerde, Tataval, and Côtes de Roussillon Village. L'Aspere. So it's like they just kind of keep adding on to it. So that was a lot. I know it's crazy that that is actually just one region in France. I could very easily produce a podcast simply on just the Languedoc Roussillon. And if you want me to, let me know. I'd be happy to do that. But definitely be on the lookout for some tasty wines from that region. It is not just bulk wine nowadays. It is good quality, very interesting and unique wines. But now it's time to head to our next region. So now we are going to go to Provence. So this is also located in the south of France, and it's just east of Languedoc-Roussillon. This is one of the only regions in the world that makes almost entirely only. I feel like I probably didn't eat all those words, but they make mostly rosé. 88% of Provence wine production is dedicated to rosé. And fun fact, Provence is actually France's oldest winemaking region. They've been making wine for over 2,600 years. So the next time someone tells you that rosé is like not like actually wine or it's like basic version of wine, you tell them that the oldest region in France produces mostly rosé and that they're crazy. Rosé is wonderful. In terms of the grapes that you will find here, there are about 36 wine varieties allowed in Provence. In terms of white grapes, you could find Rouillet. I think I don't pronounce. There's two L's, R-O-L-L-E, Rouillet. If I'm remembering French, I should not pronounce those. But this is also called Vermentino in Italy. Then you have Ugni Blanc, also called Trebbiano in Italy, Bourbelanc, Claret, Marsan, Roussan, and Grenache Blanc. Those probably sound familiar because many of those are the same grapes that we actually found in the Languedoc Roussillon. Makes sense, they're right next to each other. In terms of red grapes, same kind of deal. Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre are GSM, Carignan, Cinsault, two other grapes that we also found in the Languedoc Roussillon. You will also find Counoise here, which is C-O-U-N-O-I-S-E, Tennet, and Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, in terms of subregions, I kind of broke these down into what they primarily produce. So starting with mostly rosé, which is a lot of them, your biggest one is going to be Côtes de Provence. This is the biggest producer. They make about 75% of production, 89% of which is rosé. Then you have Coteau d'Aix in Provence. I'm probably not saying that right. I did study up on the French, but I'm still learning it. So this is Coteau, which is C-O-T-E-A-U-X. And then D'Aix, that I'm guessing, it may be D'Aix, is D'AIX. I honestly don't know if I've ever seen this on a bottle, but I'm definitely going to be on the lookout now because I'm kind of curious. So it's Coteau D'Aix in Provence. This is usually a blend of Grenache, Mourvèdre, Cinsault, Syrah, and Counoise, but they can also use Cabernet Sauvignon. And then finally, our last like big rosé region is Coteau Varieux de Provence. And again, that's that Coteau, followed by V-A-R-O-I-S, that's Varieux de Provence. This is considered the heart of Provence. It also has the highest altitude, which means it's going to have cooler temperatures than a lot of the other regions. And cooler temperatures for winemaking leads to a very nice acidity in the wine. So you'll get complex flavors and structure as well in there. Now, in terms of red wine, so like I said, they mostly produce rosé, but they do produce some red and white. So if you're looking for a red wine from Provence, you would either look for Les Baux de Provence. This is L-E-S space B-A-U-X de Provence. This is the, we just talked about the coolest area. This is the toastiest part of Provence. It's actually nicknamed the Valley of Hell. It's perfect for biodynamic and organic viticulture. They get very little rain, and it's hard for any of those pests to like survive the hot temperatures, but it's also hard for the wine. They produce mostly red wines. You'll see Grenache, Syrah, Sinsel, and Cabernet Sauvignon here. The other region, which you may have heard of and might be surprised that it's in Provence, is Bandol. They make mostly late ripening Mourvèdre, which is like my latest obsession as a grape. If you can find Mourvèdre anywhere, Mourvèdre, I say both of those, I'm sorry. They're the same grape. Mourvedre. Give it a try. I think it's a wonderful alternative to Cabernet Sauvignon. But so in Bandol, you'll see this, and it's made into red and rosé wines. In terms of white wines, the one region to look for here in Provence is Cassis, C-A-S-S-I-S. They produce Marsan and Claret. These are wines with intense aromas of citrus, peach, honey, and dried herbs. Sounds wonderful. I also don't think I've tried one of these before, so I will have to be on the lookout for it. And then a couple other AOCs you might find on a bottle, Palais, Belle, and Pierre Vert. So just keep an eye on those. They make red, white, and rosé wine, so they didn't really fit into any of my categories. But that is Provence. And again, Provence, mostly known for rosé. They are lovely, but there's a lot of rosé made here. So be sure to try lots of different producers. Do you ever feel like you're stuck in a rut, doing the same old thing day in and day out? You wake up, go to work, come home, go to bed, and repeat. When life gets busy, it can be easy to fall into that routine and forget how important it is to prioritize joy and fun. But what if I told you there was a way to break out of that cycle? A way to bring more excitement and adventure into your life. And it involves one of the most wonderful things in the world, wine. Introducing my Court Crew Virtual Tasting Club. This is not your ordinary wine club. This is a community of people who are passionate about exploring new flavors, learning about different wine styles, and having fun along the way. Each month, we'll select two styles of wine to focus on. We'll taste them together virtually, all while learning more about the regions that the wines are from and the grapes that make the wine. You'll also have the opportunity to meet winemakers, sommeliers, and other wine professionals through our monthly community events. But it's not just about the wine. It's about breaking out of your routine, trying new things, and having a little fun. Imagine being able to impress your friends at your next dinner party with your newfound wine knowledge. Feeling confident when you walk into a wine shop, knowing exactly what to look for and what you'll enjoy. Imagine adding a little bit of excitement to your everyday life. So why not do something for you? Come join the Court Crew Virtual Tasting Club and start exploring the endless sea of discovery and joy that is the world of wine. Sign up at my website, corkandfizz.com/thecorkcrew, and don't forget to use code WINE101 to get your first month free. And now, back to the show. Okay, now we are heading way far north. We are heading to the northeast corner of France, and we're going to talk about Alsace. Alsace is right along the French border with Germany, and this makes it a perfect candidate for what I'm going to call political land grab. So Alsace has actually flip-flopped between France and Germany four times in less than a 75-year period. So many of the people who lived there had to change their nationality multiple times over. They spoke three different languages, French, German, and then Alsatian. And when Germany took over, anything French was outlawed. So even so much as saying bonjour could have you sent to a concentration camp. And I should specify that 75-year period was basically, I don't have the exact dates, but it was during World War I and World War II, which makes sense why that land grab was happening. Again, if, you know, when one of these changes happened, the home market became your export market, and it was often out of reach due to tariffs. So these people who are making wine, they had well-established connections. They were no longer available when this would happen, so they had to win over the new market, and that was very challenging to do. Now, because of all this and because of all this struggle that they went through and the back and forth, Alsatians essentially have their own unique culture. It's part French, part German, and entirely Alsatian. So I think it's just such a cool, unique region that it just, you know, it has a combination of multiple different areas and then does its own thing. So in terms of wine styles, unlike many regions in France, Alsace produces majority white wine. And by majority, I mean over 90%. However, they're just as intense as any red wine from France. They're often described as fat, full, and rich with a spicy bite. These white wines are 100% worth trying. So in general, Alsace typically makes single varietal wines. Again, varietal is just another name for a grape. So a single varietal wine is made with just a single kind of grape. And the most common that you will find in Alsace include Riesling, Gewürztraminer, Pinot Gris, Sylvaner, Pinot Blanc, and Muscovy. And this is actually one of the only French regions, there are a couple others, but one of the only, that actually label the wines via the grape variety. So you will actually see an Alsatian wine say Riesling on it or Gewürztraminer, which is really, really helpful, I think. Blends of the grapes are made here. They're just not as common. And you would see these labeled as Gentil, G-E-N-T-I-L, or Edelswicker. I'm probably not saying that one right. But for the longest time, I thought Edelswicker was a rare grape grown only in Alsace. I would see it on a label. I'm like, oh, Edelswicker. Like, I've never tried that before. I should try it. And turns out it just means a blend. It's not just one grape that's grown in Alsace. And then from what I can tell, the only red wine that I've really found from Alsace is Pinot Noir. Now, in terms of subregions and AOCs or AOPs, Alsace has 53. So I'm not going to walk through those with you, but there is one encompassing regional designation called the Alsace AOP. They have one regional sparkling designation called Cremant d'Alsace, and then 51 unique Grand Crus. And you can imagine these Grand Crus are considered like the top notch, the best wines that you can find. And only 4% of Alsace wine is made in Grand Cru. So you don't really need to know those other 51 AOPs. Most wine comes from the Alsace AOP, but it would be fun to try a wine from one of the 51. And you'll know if it's from a Grand Cru because it'll say something other than Alsace AOP. You'll see like the name of the Grand Cru. And so with the Grand Cru, there are only four noble grapes that are allowed. Those are Riesling, Muscat, Gewürztraminer, and Pinot Gris. Okay, moving on to our next region, we are heading south to Beaujolais. This region is technically the most southern portion of Burgundy, but Burgundy doesn't really like to claim it, so they're essentially their own region called Beaujolais. This region is all about a grape called Gamay, also called Gamay Noir. Gamay is the only red grape allowed in a bottle labeled Beaujolais, and essentially the only red grape grown in the region. It makes up 95% of production in Beaujolais. The other 5% is mostly Chardonnay, the only white grape that's allowed in Beaujolais. Gamay is similar to Pinot Noir. It's one that I recommend for people who want to try something that really enjoy Pinot. It's light to medium bodied. You've got low tannins, so those things that make your mouth feel really dry, like you have cotton balls. Not a lot of those, and it's high acidity. It's a really great chillable red, so it's a great summer red if you just want to stick it in the fridge for like 30 minutes, and it's super food friendly. Now, super quick, just wanted to go over the designations in Beaujolais, just because you'll see these more often and because there's not as much to talk about in Beaujolais. So you have Beaujolais, that is the basic level. And I should also clarify, the spelling of Beaujolais looks nothing like what I'm saying right now. It is B-E-A-U, kind of like B-E-A-U-tiful. That's how I think about it whenever I'm spelling it. B-E-A-U-J-O-L-A-I-S. Beaujolais. It was very funny. My husband was watching me type something out the other day and I was writing Beaujolais and he's like, I could not spell that for the life of me on my own. And normally I'm terrible at spelling, but luckily I've spelt Beaujolais enough now that I know it. But anyway, looks nothing like what I'm saying. So Beaujolais, the basic level, a bottle labeled just Beaujolais, can be made with grapes grown from anywhere across the region. Now Beaujolais Village, a bottle essentially labeled village, must be made with grapes from 39 villages in the hilly midsection of the region. These villages have poorer soil that forces the grapes to yield better, riper grapes, so we end up with better wine. And then finally, you have the Crus, C-R-U-S, the Crus. The best wines of Beaujolais come from 10 distinguished villages called Crus. The bottle will either be labeled Cru or with the name of the distinguished village. So if you see something else on the bottle besides Beaujolais, it's a good chance it's a Cru. And it's a high-end wine, and you should try it, because I think a lot of the Beaujolais Crus are really, like, you could get a good one for, like, $30, and they are lovely. All right, that's Beaujolais. Moving on to our next region. This is a region that I am super excited about, and I think I'm going to be visiting this year. It's called Jura, J-U-R-A. This is a tiny region east of Burgundy, so it's between Burgundy and Switzerland. It's known for very unique wines, but they also grow a lot of Chardonnay. Jura's wines are sold under 5 core appellations. The most important of those are Arbois, A-R-B-O-I-S, and Côte de Jura. In terms of the wine styles, you'll find dry reds and whites, and we'll talk about the grapes that are used to make those red and white wines, but I also want to talk about a couple other styles of wine made in Jura, and one of those is Vin Juan. These are long-lived, bone-dry wines that are aged in barrel under a layer of yeast known as le voile. This is made similar to sherry from Spain, but they aren't fortified, and there is no solera system. The wines essentially are put in casks with a little room left at the top so that a layer of yeast can form. It's similar to the floor that forms on Fino sherry, but here it's called voile, or veil. As you might guess, you'll get a lot of yeasty flavor notes in common between the two styles of wine. However, Vin Juan gains oxidative notes as well. So you get this nutty, savory kind of umami flavor. These Vin Juan are made under the Arbois, so A-R-B-O-I-S title, also Les Étoiles and Côte de Jura. They have a separate appellation that is just for the best Vin Juan. And this is called a Chateau Chalon. And this, you'll only find that Vin Juan here. So we have dry red and white wines that are made in Jura. You have the Vin Juan, which is a very unique style of white wine that is aged under a layer of yeast. You also have sweet wines. And these sweet wines are usually made from dried grapes. This is called Vin de Paye. It is made in the same regions as above. So the Arbois, Les Étoiles, Côte de Jura, but is not made in that Chateau Chalon. Chateau Chalon is only for the Vin Juan. And then finally, you also have sparkling wine. Now, for those dry red and white wines, the reds are often made with 3 grapes. Pulsard, this is a really pretty aromatic flavored wine. You get cherries, berries, herbs, and white pepper. Then you have Trousseau. This is a spiced, peppery, red-fruited wine. And then their other one is Pinot Noir, which you're likely more familiar with. In terms of white, you have Sauvignon. And this is responsible for the Vin Juan, again, that I talked about earlier. The Vin Juan actually means yellow wine. And then Sauvignon also produces unique dry wines, lots of nutty flavors. This is actually one of my favorite wines, and one that if I ever see Sauvignon on a menu, I have to try it because it's just so different and unique. And then their other white wine that they make is Chardonnay. All right, moving on. I think we've made it to our last region. So at least our last major region. There are so many other regions in France that I have not talked about. But our last one is Corsica. Now, this is a small Mediterranean island. It is located between the southeast coast of Provence and the west coast of Tuscany. And although it is closer to Italy, Corsica has been under French rule since 1769. The 2 top grapes here are actually Italian, and they are Vermentino and Sangiovese, though here they're called Roie and Neoluccio, respectively. They grow a huge array of grapes beyond these. This includes Pinot Noir, Tempranillo, Barbarossa, which you're probably hearing, like, Pinot Noir is like a very French grape. Tempranillo is a Spanish grape. And then Barbarossa, I think, is an Italian grape. Plus nearly 30 more. It's just such an array of grape varieties that you wouldn't really find anywhere else, especially in the old world, aka Europe. The entire island is covered by the regional Vin de Corse appellation. There are 7 separate AOPs throughout the island, although the quality and quantity of wine produced under these AOPs is steadily increasing. The majority of Corsican wine is made under the less stringent IGP title. So if you remember me talking about with the Languedoc, IGP title, it just means that they don't have to follow as strict of rules when they're making the wine. And so the IGP of Corsica is actually called the Île des Beautés, which I think means Island of Beauty. All right, there you have it. The last six major wine regions in France. So just to go backwards, we talked about Corsica. We talked about the Jura. We talked about Beaujolais, Alsace, Provence, and of course, our Languedoc-Roussillon. Now, I challenge you to go out and find a bottle from a region that you just learned about. If you do, be sure to take a picture of the bottle, share it with me on Instagram at corkandfizz, or via email, you can email me haley@corkandfizz.com. And be sure to let me know which of these 11 major wine regions of France that you'd most like me to do a larger deep dive into. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Cork and Fizz Guide to Wine podcast. If you loved it as much as I did, I would sure appreciate it if you could take a quick second, rate it, and leave a review, and also share it with a friend that loves wine. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. I release new episodes every Wednesday. In next week's episode, I'll be sharing my top tips for ordering wine at a restaurant. If you've ever looked at a restaurant wine list and been insanely overwhelmed, this episode is for you. Thanks again for listening, and as a thank you, I'd like to share my free shopping guide, 15 Wines Under $15. Simply head to my website, corkandfizz.com, scroll down to the bottom, and join the mailing list. Cheers!